Tonight, another woman comes forward to accuse Senate candidate Roy Moore of sexually assaulting her when she was 16 years old.
He said, "You're just a child." And he said, "I am the district attorney of Etowah County. And if you tell anyone about this, no one will ever believe you."
A dramatic showdown is brewing as senior Republicans threaten to expel Moore from the Senate if he wins. There's major medical news breaking. Brand new guidelines classify nearly half of U.S. adults as having high blood pressure. Are you one of them? And should you be taking medicine? More breaking news, a bombshell report. Donald Trump Jr. was exchanging secret messages with WikiLeaks during the 2016 campaign. What they reportedly said. New charges in a hazing death rocking Penn State. Frat brothers accused of leaving a pledge to die. What police have just recovered on video that they say the frat brothers deleted. And buddy cops on the beat, a veteran and his rookie partner keeping the neighborhood safe.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening and welcome to our viewers in the West. The sordid sexual accusations against Alabama Republican Senate candidate Roy Moore, which have already thrown that race into chaos, were bolstered late today by a new accuser, a woman who went before the cameras to claim Moore forced himself on her when she was a teenager. Now the fifth accuser to step forward in the face of Moore's forceful denials.
I tried to open my car door to leave, but he reached over and he locked it so I could not get out. I tried fighting him off while yelling at him to stop. But instead of stopping, he began squeezing my neck.
All this proving too much for a growing number of prominent Republicans tonight who are insisting Moore must drop out of the race, despite his sizable support still among many voters. NBC's Katie Beck has late details.
I thought that he was going to rape me.
Tonight, Beverly Young Nelson is the fifth woman to accuse Alabama Senate candidate Roy Moore of improper sexual advances when she was a teenager.
I was twisting and I was struggling and I was begging him to stop.
Nelson, then 16, says Moore was a regular customer at a restaurant where she worked. She claims Moore, then district attorney, offered her a ride home, but instead parked the car behind the business and assaulted her.
He began squeezing my neck, attempting to force my head onto his crotch.
Nelson claims she was left with bruises, but Moore had warned her no one would believe her. Moore has denied all of the accusations, just as he denied the allegations of sexual misconduct with a 14-year-old girl reported by the Washington Post last week.
They're completely false and untrue.
He is refusing to drop out, calling the attention a witch hunt, placing blame on the media and establishment Republicans, and threatening to sue over the allegations. His Democrat opponent, Doug Jones, issuing this statement today. Roy Moore will be held accountable by the people of Alabama for his actions. But are these allegations hurting Moore, who is leading in the polls with voters? Any chance he loses?
No, ma'am.
You think he's going to win no matter what?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
Some local analysts say Moore's popularity and distrust of the media keeps him in the race.
Obviously, these charges will hurt Roy Moore, but they may not hurt him enough to change the election.
As for Nelson, she's been inspired by other victims who have come forward and has a message for Moore.
He no longer has any power over me, and I no longer live in fear of him.
Katie Beck, NBC News, Birmingham, Alabama.
I'm Casey Hunt in Washington, where Republican leaders are saying no to Roy Moore.
I believe the women, yes.
The Senate Majority Leader with a forceful denunciation, opening the floodgates. Republican Senators Orrin Hatch and Susan Collins tweeting that Moore should drop out. And Colorado Senator Cory Gardner, who's in charge of electing Republicans to the Senate, went even further, saying in a statement, if Moore refuses to withdraw and wins, the Senate should vote to expel him, because he does not meet the ethical and moral requirements of the United States Senate. The swift condemnation coming on the heels of harassment scandals rocking Hollywood, the media, and state houses across the country, leaving some asking, is Capitol Hill next?
The chief of staff held my face, kissed me, and stuck his tongue in my mouth.
Congresswoman Jackie Speier thinks so. She posted this video last month with the hashtag MeToo about her time as a congressional staffer. Speer will testify at a hearing Tuesday aimed at changing policies that often lag far behind corporate America, in part because lawmakers police themselves.
It's possible they thought, well, we're different than the rest of the world, you know.
They get to write their own rules.
Exactly. And so I think that has filtered through a lot of behavior over the years.
Kristen Brown worked on Capitol Hill for 2 decades. When she circulated a letter to former staffers demanding change, the response was overwhelming.
How big of a problem is this on Capitol Hill?
I think it's huge. These are incredibly hard-fought jobs. It's very competitive. And once you're here, you kind of do everything you can to, keep your mouth shut if something's making you uncomfortable.
But that culture could be changing. Tonight, Republican after Republican calling for Roy Moore to get out of his race. Senator John McCain even going so far as to say Republicans should do whatever is required to make sure that Roy Moore never becomes a United States senator. Lester.
All right. Casey Hunt on Capitol Hill tonight. Thank you, Casey. As the president wraps up his tour through Asia, a bombshell new report out late this evening alleges that his son, Donald Trump Jr., secretly corresponded with the organization WikiLeaks during the campaign and for months afterward. NBC News White House correspondent Kristen Welker now on what they were allegedly communicating about.
Tonight, stunning new revelations of months of correspondence during the campaign between the president's eldest son, Donald Trump Jr., and WikiLeaks, the hackers which the U.S. intelligence community believes was used by the Russian government to disseminate information. According to The Atlantic, the direct Twitter messages were turned over to congressional investigators by Trump Jr.'s lawyers. According to The Atlantic, Trump Jr. largely ignored the frequent messages from WikiLeaks, but in one instance, WikiLeaks' direct message Trump Jr. a link to their database of leaked emails, writing, "Strongly suggest your dad tweets this link if he mentions us." Trump Jr. didn't respond immediately, but his father tweeted 15 minutes later, "Very little pickup by the dishonest media of incredible information provided by WikiLeaks." Then, 2 days later, on October 14, 2016, Trump Jr. tweeted out the link WikiLeaks sent him. On Election Day, WikiLeaks wrote to Don Jr., "Hi, Don, if your father loses, we think it is much more interesting if he does not concede and spends time challenging the media and other types of rigging that occurred." No response from Donald Trump Jr. to that. The Trump administration has consistently denied any coordination with WikiLeaks.
I think all of us have had concerns about WikiLeaks over the years, and it's just a reality of American life today and of life in the wider world.
Donald Trump Jr.'s lawyer released a statement to The Atlantic which says, in part, "We can say with confidence that we have no concerns about these documents. Trump Jr. is already under scrutiny for meeting with a Kremlin-linked attorney during the campaign. This latest revelation raises more questions about the level of communication between the Trump campaign and agents of Russia." Lester.
Kristen Welker at the White House. Thanks. Now the new twist in the killing of an American Green Beret in Mali. For the first time, we're learning what two Navy SEALs under investigation in this case initially told investigators. This as another new report claims the victim was killed after he discovered the SEALs were stealing money from the military. NBC Pentagon correspondent Hans Nichols has exclusive details.
Suspected of strangling Staff Sergeant Logan Melgar to death, according to a preliminary Army investigative report, the two Navy SEALs, 38-year-old Tony DeDolph and 31-year-old Adam Cranston Matthews, initially told investigators they were wrestling with Melgar at 4 in the morning, with Matthews ending up on top of Melgar. Once the SEALs got off the Green Beret, they realized he wasn't breathing. They attempted to perform CPR and cut an airway in his throat. They then raced him to a clinic where he was pronounced dead. At a party the previous night, the SEALs had made numerous comments on how to get back at Melgar, a witness told investigators, because they felt slighted by Melgar after he evaded them on the way to the party. DeDolph, who has fought in mixed martial arts matches, also told the witness that he choked Logan out, leading to temporary unconsciousness. The SEALs also used duct tape on Melgar, according to the witness, but intentionally didn't tell investigators.
There is no rivalry. The only competition is between each other in order to make each other better.
An explosive report from the Daily Beast claims that Melgar had discovered that the SEALs were pocketing from a slush fund used to pay locals and confronted the SEALs. A Pentagon official warned against drawing conclusions before the investigation is complete, and the Navy's criminal investigative services, as well as the SEALs, declined to comment. An official tells NBC News that the small counterterrorism mission, about a dozen special operators, does involve paying local sources for information. Lester?
Hans Nichols at the Pentagon tonight. Thanks. This evening, there are new charges stemming from a fraternity hazing death at Penn State. Fraternity brothers accused of leaving a pledge to die after a night of heavy drinking. Authorities now say they have recovered video that shows some of what happened that night. Video they allege the fraternity brothers deleted. Here's NBC's Kristen Dahlgren with more.
As Tim Piazza's parents brace themselves for the first holiday season without their son, a dozen more of his would-be fraternity brothers now face charges.
They then left him to die alone, and they tried to cover it up.
The new evidence comes from a basement camera inside Penn State's Beta Theta Pi fraternity. Surveillance video the district attorney says was intentionally deleted, but now restored by the FBI.
What you see is the brothers coming up to him and bringing him the alcohol and putting it up to his mouth.
The new charges range from involuntary manslaughter to hazing. One brother charged with tampering with evidence for allegedly deleting the video as police searched the house, plus additional charges for some of the 14 previously charged in Piazza's death. According to the district attorney, the new video shows Piazza given at least 18 drinks in an hour and 22 minutes.
That's murderous almost. I mean, how could you not know that that's bad?
Prosecutors say no one called 911 until almost 12 hours after Piazza first fell down the stairs. In September, a judge dismissed the original felony charges. Today, an attorney for defendant Joseph Ems told NBC News, "We successfully defended him once and will do it again." But the DA and the Piazzas have refused to give up, now bolstered by the video they say fraternity brothers never wanted anyone to see.
Guess what, guys? Now we know.
Kristen Dahlgren, NBC News, New York.
Overseas tonight, the toll has soared to at least 445 people killed and over 7,000 injured after a massive earthquake in Iran near the border with Iraq. Nearly half of the casualties are reportedly from a single town where the only hospital was heavily damaged. Iran has declared tomorrow as a national day of mourning. Turning now to some of our top spying weapons exposed, the U.S. intelligence community is still reeling from what veterans are calling the biggest cybersecurity breach ever. Just over a year ago, hackers got into the National Security Agency, getting away with some of the agency's top cybersecurity defenses and weapons. The question remains, what happened to the NSA's own cyber defenses? Here's NBC's Tom Costello.
In the world of espionage, the question remains, who are the shadow brokers? The group claiming responsibility for what may be the biggest security breach ever at the NSA, now taunting the country in posts riddled with spelling errors. Recently writing, is NSA chasing shadows? So was the breach the work of foreign hackers or someone on the inside? Former NSA analyst Orrin Falkowitz says it's had a chilling effect on NSA staffers.
It puts them under suspicion. It puts the people they work with into question, and it slows the progress of protecting the country.
Whoever stole the NSA's cyber weapons then used them to launch ransomware attacks against hospitals, banks, shipping, and drug companies. One online post hints at a Russian connection. Russian security people are becoming Russian hackers at night, but only full moons.
The NSA and FBI have taken this breach extremely seriously, but their inability to actually find the root cause is deeply problematic. It means that additional information could be exfiltrated.
The damage is said to be among the most severe ever. The FBI's former chief cyber agent in New York.
Is the game stacked against the United States government in terms of being able to respond quickly and effectively and put up necessary defenses?
The advantage is with the attacker because they have the ability to study a system, find its weaknesses, and find a way inside.
It is, say veterans, full-scale cyber warfare requiring both a strong offense and defense. Tom Costello, NBC News, Washington.
There was speculation today over whether a familiar face might run for the White House in 2020. Former Vice President Joe Biden is not ruling it out. Biden is busy promoting his new memoir in which he opens up about his son Beau's battle with brain cancer. After Beau died in 2015, a grieving Biden said the window to run for president had closed. But on the Today Show, he didn't sound so sure.
No, I'm not closing the door. Look, I've been around too long. I mean, I'm a great respecter of fate.
But who knows what the situation is going to be a year and a half from now.
Biden did dismiss recent claims that he was being considered to replace Hillary Clinton as the Democratic nominee last year, saying he never would have agreed to that. Still ahead tonight, the new warning about high blood pressure, why the number of Americans with it is suddenly skyrocketing to nearly half of all adults. Are you one of them? We're going to tell you about the steps that could save your life. Also, those who serve, a policeman and his pint-sized partner who already knows what he wants to be when he grows up. Hope you can stay with us. Back now with a major medical headline. Tonight, for the first time in 14 years, there are some new guidelines redefining who should be diagnosed with high blood pressure. Doctors say now nearly half the U.S. adult population meet the new criteria. NBC News medical correspondent Dr. John Torres has the details in tonight's Keeping You Healthy report.
We saw the need to update these guidelines to reflect the real threats of high blood pressure.
The significant change from the American Heart Association now means more than 100 million Americans have high blood pressure. The new guidelines now define high blood pressure as anything above 130 over 80 and recommend intervening earlier to control what doctors call the silent killer. The impact is especially important for people under 45. The new definition will triple the diagnosis among men and double it among women in that age group.
Getting your blood pressure even lower than what we previously thought reduced your risk of heart attack, reduced your risk of stroke, and reduced your risk of dying.
Some patients may need to start taking medication, but reducing your risk naturally is always the first line of defense. Exercise and lose weight, quit smoking, and reduce stress. Today's news is the extra push 58-year-old Jeff Evans needs to lower his blood pressure.
My goal is to get off the medication completely, control things naturally through exercise and diet.
Just go straight up.
Jeff's on the right path, setting personal goals for himself and a good example for his family.
John, I figured that most people would opt for the natural response if they could, but does this mean more people are going to be taking blood pressure medication?
Not necessarily. The new guidelines stress treatment with both lifestyle changes and, if needed, medication. But high blood pressure is called the silent killer because you won't have symptoms early on, and that's why it's important to get your blood pressure checked regularly.
Well, these new guidelines are a wake-up call for a lot of us.
They are.
John, thanks very much. Coming up, emotional reunions for pet owners and their four-legged friends weeks after disaster tore them apart. We want to show you some stunning pictures out of the capital of India, New Delhi. The smog is so thick it's actually causing traffic pileups, drivers unable to see where they're going. United Airlines even temporarily canceled flights to the city until the air improves. Local officials have closed schools because of the extreme air pollution caused by low winds and farmers burning their fields before planting their winter crops. And how about this? Happy reunions after the hurricane that devastated Puerto Rico. Dozens of pet owners who fled to Florida without their best friends are now back together. Their flights paid for with the help of the Humane Society and Wings of Rescue. The first group arriving over the weekend, another today. Lots of wagging tails today. When we come back, on patrol with a police officer and his partner, a little lawman in training. Those Who Serve is next. Finally, tonight, I want to share with you a story about an unlikely pair of cop buddies, the experienced lawman and his pint-sized deputy who hopes to someday pin on a real badge. But for now, he's happy to learn the beat from a seasoned veteran. This story, by the way, comes to us from a viewer in Tennessee and is part of our series, Those Who Serve.
I'm going to grow up and I'll be a police officer.
Run afoul of the law, and you just might come face-to-face with Sawyer Shimming in another 17 years or so.
I'll grab their hand and put it right in and snap this back in.
He's only four, but he's ready, with uniform.
We wear it when there's emergency.
Whistle.
You can hear it when I blow it so loud when I'm doing traffic.
And a partner. And together, they hit the streets of Newport, Tennessee after school.
It first started out as just an acquaintance, but then now it's turned into Sawyer views him as his buddy and their partners.
Sergeant Justin Vinson is a 14-year veteran of the Newport PD.
Morning, Abby.
And the resource officer at the school across the street from Sawyer's house.
My main job is to make sure all the kids are safe. And if nothing else, be that smile, be that hug, or be that one positive reinforcement of a police officer that they may encounter.
He's my partner. I help him.
Every afternoon, Sawyer counts down the minutes.
Is it time for traffic?
Almost.
And runs out the front door when Officer Vincent arrives. They place their cones and direct traffic side by side. Officer Vincent takes the lead, but Sawyer follows every move.
It makes your heart swell, you know, that you can make a difference in one child's life.
A little boy, yeah. Okay. And a policeman.
Sergeant Vincent to Officer Sawyer.
Yep, there's an emergency.
Who together serve, protect, and delight.
Streets of Newport, Tennessee, pretty safe tonight. A reminder, if you have a good story about someone who serves, whether police, military, fire, or some other calling, we'd love to hear from you on our Facebook page. That is Nightly News for this Monday. I'm Lester Holt. Thank you for watching, and good night.